What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Well, where should we start? Let's first start by saying it wouldn't have mattered had they won anyhow, because Marcus Mariota scored a touchdown with 3 seconds to go against the Cowboys to give Washington the lead and the win. So with 6 seconds left, Washington was down on fourth down. They went for it. Or was it third down? It doesn't matter. They ended up scoring a touchdown. McLaurin 5 yards from Mariota. 23-19, now Washington over Dallas. So as far as seeding goes, it wouldn't have mattered. They would have ended up being the 7th seed regardless, even if they would have won that football game. They didn't win the football game, however, did the Packers. Some much-needed revenge, I guess you could say, by Santos, the Bears kicker, as the Bears kicker hits one from 51 yards out as time expired. And they beat the Packers 24-22. Said it on Friday, Mason Crosby Show, when I was filling in for Thunder. Everybody laughed at me. Said it on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's Friday afternoon. This was a game I was very concerned about coming in. Very concerned. Just because of how the whole thing was. You could just feel it coming into the week. Bears had lost 10 in a row. Packers had dominated the Bears forever. It was going to be at Lambeau, something to play for if they took it seriously, the Packers, that is. And yeah, the Bears playing for nothing. They were playing just to end the season on a high. Win a football game, feel better about yourself going into the postseason, knowing you beat the Packers, your rival, get the Bears fans off of you a little bit. I'm sure the score down in Chicago will be celebrating a Packers victory, even though it probably screwed them in draft position a little bit, maybe. I think they could only have fallen one spot from where they were coming into the week, but Christian Watson gets hurt. Jordan Love gets hurt. Now, the Jordan Love thing, I've seen people on Twitter, wow, funny bone. Man, if it was a funny bone, wouldn't he have been back then in that game at some point? You saw him throwing on the sidelines. Then when Malik Willis hurt his hand, hitting that helmet on that unbelievable...
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way.
Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Throw and catch to Malik Heath. Then he hands it off for the touchdown to Wilson. Then the two-point conversion, he went to pull it back, couldn't hold on to the ball, and the ball goes down. But then on the sidelines, as they're both warming up, as the Packers defense is desperately trying to get the Bears offense off the field, you saw Love throwing, and it was the exact same thing that was happening when the injury first happened. He'd throw the ball, and then he'd like shake his hand and his arm and the whole deal. I don't know, man. That, to me, that's a funny bone. I don't know how long funny bones, you know, that weird feeling in your funny bone when you hit it. I don't know how long that lasts. Maybe it lasts longer for a football player on a helmet. Whatever caused his funny bone issue. But you would have thought by that point, if it was just a funny bone, he would be able to throw the ball without having to shake his arm and his hand and the whole deal. You just wonder if it's something else besides whatever they think it is. And then will that, you know, essentially cost him for maybe not playing against Philadelphia next week? Dial it up. Let's go. How angry are you? Do you not care that they lost to the Bears? Because at the end of the day, didn't mean anything anyhow because Washington ended up winning. Are you frustrated? A friend of mine texted me and said he's done with LaFleur. He's all done. He wants out. Done like LaFleur. The text message read, and this was earlier in the game. I'm so sick and tired of watching games where they need the defense to get a stop in a crucial part of the game, watching them fall all over and over and over again. It doesn't matter the year or who the coordinator is. It's failure over and over. Earlier in the gear, in the game, how do they come out flat after last week? This is all on LaFleur. Then later, I'm done with LaFleur, bud. 1-5 in their division, 0-3 at home. I'm like, that's crazy. That's crazy talk, being done with LaFleur. But I know for certain, looking on social media, there's a lot of people that are done on Jordan Love, done on Christian Watson, done on Matt LaFleur. Everybody's getting ran over by a Packer school bus in this one. Everybody. Y'all are freaking out. And listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't be freaking out, that you shouldn't be frustrated and upset that they lost to a complete garbage Bears team. Not at all. But you could just, I don't know, maybe everybody else couldn't feel it. I could feel it coming. You just could. You could feel it coming into the week. Packers were really down on themselves. You could hear Josh Jacobs after that game last week in the locker room being all down and out. You could just feel there wasn't momentum. Last year going into the playoffs, there was a ton of momentum. This team was feeling really good about themselves. This year, they're going to go into the playoffs feeling the exact opposite. Lot of questioning of what exactly they're doing. Lot of questions. Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. As we broadcast live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Our guy, other side of the glass, Tommy Wirtz. Don't forget, Green and Gold Monday tomorrow, Pack-A-Day Radio Show with Annie Herman from 8 to 9 o'clock, talking about this Packers loss to the Bears. And then from 9 to 11, Mason Crosby and Mitch Thundernellis back from his vacation. They'll both be talking about this loss to the Bears tomorrow as well from 9 to 11. And then we're right back on the air in the afternoon from 2 to 5. And the debut of a new show on The Fan tomorrow from 11 to 2. The Rich Eisen Show makes its debut in place of Jim Rome, who moved time slots. Moved into my time slot, actually. So he'll no longer be heard on The Fan, but Rich Eisen will be. Again, 11 to 2 tomorrow. Rich Eisen now on The Fan weekdays. So make sure to check that out. Greg in Waukesha, you're first up on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express after the Packers lose to the Chicago Bears.
Well, you just made me happy. Rich Eisen's coming to Milwaukee. That's exciting. I'm really excited about that he'll be coming to, you know, the Fan. But anyway, I am disappointed, Sparky. You know, call me and I've probably said this before, call me a spoiled Packer fan, but I'm sick. I am incredibly sick of the Packers going into the playoffs like they probably will this year, Sparky. 1 and done. Because if we don't have Christian Watson, first of all, why does Christian Watson get injured? Why does Jordan Love, you know, continue to get injured? Is it the way they're practicing? See, that's on the coaching staff.
No, Greg, listen, man, look. There are some guys, now I'm not going to speak on Love necessarily, but more on Christian Watson. There are some guys, for whatever the reason, are just injury prone in their career, and it cuts their career short. I mean, the first one I think of is Greg Oden, who was supposed to be this dominant center and just never stayed healthy through his entire NBA career and was a complete bust because he couldn't stay on the field. Christian Watson had hamstring issues. They fixed the hamstring issues, and now he finds different ways to get hurt. I mean, that was not his fault today. His knee buckled as he was going to make that cut. It was a non-contact play. I don't think there's anything you could have done differently as far as training or regimen or whatever else as far as what led to that injury for Christian Watson.
Yeah, I guess I'm questioning too. Like the Packers are questioning, and we'll just see next week how that goes, how this goes, because I don't think it's going to be pretty.
I don't think so either.
I think the Eagles are going to I may be done with the Packers if the Eagles beat them in a playoff game. I may be done.
But Greg, I mean, listen here. They're going in as the 7 seed facing a 2 seed. Nobody is going to expect them to win in Philadelphia next week. I mean, they're going to be a significant underdog, I would think. Tommy and I were talking about this before the show. Tommy thinks it'll be like 5, 5.5. I think it's going to be closer to 7 to 8 would be my guess, especially coming off of this loss to the Bears.
But the just whole one and done, this has been, I mean, even before LaFleur, this has been a thing with the Packers. Why can't we get it done in the playoffs? That's all I'll say. I'm frustrated.
You should be
done with LaFleur. I'm done. I don't know. I'm just done.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Listen, y'all. Y'all can be frustrated with LaFleur. Y'all can be frustrated with the coaching staff. The whole trick play on the punt that got returned 94 yards. You can be mad at Bisaccia. You can be mad at whoever y'all want to be mad at. That's fine. You keep winning double-digit games like LaFleur is doing. He doesn't suck. I mean, he's not a bad coach. He's just not. Now, you could have the debate of, is he a big game coach or whatever? Sure. Had that conversation about how they were in big games with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and you can have that conversation about how he was against the Niners last year, but they smoked the Cowboys with him as coach last time I checked. That was a 2-7 matchup. They weren't supposed to win that one in Dallas, and they did. So, if y'all want to move on from Matt LaFleur, okay. So, who are you going to get that's better? Who's going to be that guy that's going to come in and make that move? Furthermore, if you are going to move on from Matt LaFleur, then it's going to either be Murphy as one of his last deals on the way out because he's done, and Ed Policy is coming in to take over this Packers organization. And the way this thing works, the GM reports to the top, the coach reports to the top, Russ Ball reports to the top. So if you're going to cut LaFleur, it's not going to be Goody. It's going to be Mark Murphy. With all due respect, they're not firing a dude with 11 wins. There's no chance. And a guy that was in the toughest division in football, who up until this point had just lost simply to the 3 best teams in football, which the Packers clearly are not one of the 3 best football teams going right now in the NFC or in the game of National Football League. There are lots of things to talk about here in this game. If you want to vent, dial it up. We're here for you. Nicolay Law, Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Also got tweets coming in as well at The Fan Milwaukee. Some of the tweets coming in. Defensive coach can go. That's from Seawolf. Al says, when do pitchers and catchers report? Andrew says, zero confidence in both the O and the D to take care of business. Elon El Musco tweets, damn, they're going to get smoked next week. They may be the worst team in the playoffs. Elon, they're the 7 seed.
I'm going to say this again. They are the last seed in the NFC playoffs. Understand what I'm saying. Last seed. In order to go to a Super Bowl, more than likely, unless there's upsets, they're going to have to go through the best teams in the NFC at their place. Now, if we talk about what this team can do with Malik Willis versus Jordan Love in the playoffs, I have zero confidence they can win a playoff game with Malik Willis. Zilch. None. Jordan Love in a playoff game at Philly? Maybe. I'm telling you right now, I'll save you the suspense. I'm not picking them to win this week. No chance. It's not happening. Now, we'll have to wait and see if Jordan Love is healthy and will he be able to play next week and all that fun stuff. But I'm not there on trying to sell you or sell anybody that this Packers team is going to do something in the postseason. Awfully hard to do when you just lose to the Chicago Bears 24-22. I can see you're trying to sell y'all on something that's not going to be sold on. The issue that there is, and there's plenty of issue, is Jordan Love missing throws again early in the game today. Guys having to dive for balls and everything else. Not sure if it was the cold weather affecting them, what the case was. Many of you said, let them throw early. I don't want to see him running the football as much early. Okay. Mason Crosby and I on his show on Friday were talking about, yeah, let's wing it. Let's see what he can do. Answer, wasn't smart. You came out and you punted immediately. It wasn't a smart move. Then Malik Willis comes in, and what happens? Oh, we're going to go back to LaFleur running the football again. And what happens? They march right down the field and score. That's what this offense has to be. I know y'all paid Jordan Love a lot of money. I get it. I do. I understand. But for this to work, it still has to be about Josh Jacobs and this offensive line pushing people around. That's still what it has to be. It has to be about the play action pass, which one more time LaFleur has completely forgotten about in this game. The one time Malik Willis went to hand off was the time he fumbled the ball. The running back wasn't even where he was supposed to be. He was gone, and there was no blocker to the right of Malik Willis, and he got absolutely destroyed. Completely destroyed. Fumbled the football. Surprised he didn't get hurt on that play. I mean, this is a mess. A mess. It's a mess on offense for certain. On defense, you got to tackle guys, man. Mosby misses two sacks. Cooper missed an opportunity at one. You get home, finish. You have to finish. Xavier McKinney gets an interception. Thank God for Keenan Allen not knowing how to play quarterback. Right? So he gets that pick. And what happens? He fumbles the ball, returning it back. I mean, how many positives really were there in this football game? And they had a lead with under a minute to go and didn't play really all that good. They really didn't. The Bears struggled to move the football most of the game. And what was it? Third and whatever it was. And they're rushing three and everybody else is dropping way back. This football team has a lot to overcome in order to beat a Philly team. They just do. Wilson, I thought, looked okay. Right? I got no problem with Wilson. That's one of Tommy Wirtz's guy has been all year. Thought he looked okay. Brooks had a big run. He looked okay. Right? Tucker Kraft, when they realized he was on the football field, threw him the ball. I thought he played okay. Wide receivers, they were trying to give the ball to with little to no success as far as handing off. Doing that type of stuff. There just wasn't a lot to get excited about. Now, how much of that is on the coaching staff and so forth? How much of it is on this locker room for just not being fired up for this game? Waiting for the playoffs to start, not really caring who they face in the next round? You tell me. Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Packers lose 24-22. It is the Green Bay Football Post Game Show driven by Young Express. As we broadcast live from 1250 AM 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Our guy Tommy Wirtz over there. Tommy Wirtz, your thoughts on what you saw today.
Yeah, Sparky, I am completely unfazed by this game. I don't think that this game should have any implication on what happens next week. I also believe that this Green Bay Packers team, I've never seen a game where they had no business winning, but at the same time, the attitude is, how are they losing? They definitely beat themselves in this game. They are a Jaden Reed fumble and a trick punt away from winning it. It was completely ridiculous, the third down defense call at the end of the game.
LaFleur at the end of the game, after the game, I just saw this on social media, when talking to Larry McCarron on his post game, said that last sequence when they had the ball before the field goal attempt, that was on him. He lost track of the time on the clock and left the Bears way too much time. There's a lot of Matt LaFleur taking the blame, I feel like, every week for screwing something up.
He absolutely left way too much time on the clock on that last drive, too. I don't know why. I think they took 55 seconds and four plays on that last drive. It was just an unfortunate series at the end. They shouldn't have had any business in it at the end of the game anyway. They got lucky with the Valentine fumble, but... Yeah, I don't think that it makes a big difference about how you feel they were going to perform next week with the game you saw this week. I think that the expectations for this Green Bay Packers team is that they can go in anywhere next week and win the game no matter what. Really, it turns out to look a little bit better for Green Bay because Washington ended up winning as well.
At the very end, yep.
They were going to play Philadelphia no matter what. And if I'm the Eagles, I am definitely upset that I am playing Green Bay before I'm playing Washington.
Why?
Because Green Bay now has a terrible game behind them. They got that out of the way.
They didn't play well last week either until the last quarter.
They also don't give away anything else because Malik Willis is playing the entire game. They had one of the sloppiest games of the season so far. It's the worst the special teams has looked other than the kicking.
Tommy, if you're in that Packer locker room, how are you feeling right now? Going into this playoff game after the last 2 weeks, you feeling ultra confident? You feeling good about things come playoff time? I mean, I would have to think it's the worst taste they've had in their mouth all year.
If you're Jordan Love, do you have the worst taste in the mouth that you've had all year?
If I'm Jordan Love, I'm hoping I can play. I'm not even worrying about the loss. I'm just trying to figure out, is this feeling in my hand that's causing me all these problems? Am I going to be able to play next week with it?
I don't think that this is the worst taste in their mouth they've had all year.
What would be?
I would think probably a second Detroit loss or a second Minnesota loss is much worse than this first Bears loss.
The second Minnesota loss was followed by the loss to the Bears. You lost back-to-back games. You won one game in the damn division all year. You let a team with a 10-game losing streak come in and beat you on your home turf. I know you're too young to remember the Lambeau Mystique with Brett Favre, but baby, that one is long out of here and gone. Ain't nobody afraid to come into Lambeau and play in the cold weather. Nobody.
I do think that being the 7th seed pretty much eliminates any chance of a Super Bowl run. I thought as a 6th seed, you have a little bit easier path that anything can happen from there. I don't see a path for any 7 seed who would have got there to beat Philly, Detroit, and Minnesota all
Agreed.
3 games. So,
yep, I agree.
I do think that is a downer on it, but I don't think that there's any less odds of winning the game week 1 against Philadelphia than if they were going to play a Tampa or an Atlanta.
No, I guess we disagree on that, but that's okay. We don't have to agree because it doesn't matter because they're not going to play Tampa Bay or Atlanta. Packers lose 24-22. Let's go. If you want to vent a little bit, get some frustrations out, give us your thoughts on this game. Are you mad at LaFleur? Are you mad at the players for just not playing well overall? Because, again, you can point at numerous mistakes in this game as far as what went wrong. This is really the first week in a while, I feel like, where Bisaccia is under fire. For most of the year, Bisaccia's special teams, outside of the kicking fiasco earlier in the year, outside of that, had played really well. Brandon McManus, man, 55 yards in the
ice.
Cold, real cold.
Yeah.
That's like kicking a damn rock. It's so frozen. To be able to come up and get that field goal in that moment, that is a huge deal for this Packers team. And again, have heard no talk about signing him to an extension or a multi-year deal and taking care of him, which I do not understand. You would think you want to lock him up and be done with that and not have to worry about field goal kicker next year, but maybe there are other plans coming. Speaking of that, did you see the report out earlier today? Was it by, I think it was Glazer maybe, Jay Glazer, saying the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell are not talking about an extension and that teams are lining up to make a trade for Kevin O'Connell in the offseason? What?
I mean, yeah, go for it.
What is going on? Would you trade LaFleur for O'Connell straight up?
No. No. Absolutely not. Not even close. I wouldn't trade LaFleur for O'Connell and a first-round pick from the Vikings.
Oh, I don't know about that.
There's no way. Matt LaFleur is a top five coach in the sport.
O'Connell made Sam Darnold into something out of nothing.
I don't care.
It's just something out of nothing. He was the one that had the hindsight to say, you know what? Nobody else wants to hire Brian Flores. I will, because he's damn good at his job. I'll bring him with me, and he can be my defensive coordinator. And it worked. Didn't care about all the noise around Flores, because everybody didn't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. And he said, I'll take him. You can come with me. I don't care what everybody else thinks. You come with me. We'll figure this out. I don't know, man. O'Connell. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the Vikings in the playoffs. Maybe they'll get booted out of the playoffs quickly as well. Packers lose 24-22. Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tommy will read the text. We'll take the calls here. You can tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee 2. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express, broadcasting live on the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky here.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steelwind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Well, that wasn't a great game for the Green Bay Packers as they lose 24-22. Not pretty. Not pretty at all. Now we got guys on Twitter like CJ. What's their event about? It was a meaningless game. On to the playoffs. So that is the other side of this, right? Doesn't matter. Not sure why we even played the game. Should have just gave them the win, not showed up, and just got ready for Philadelphia. LaFleur obviously didn't take that same mantra as CJ did by putting Jordan Love out there, Josh Jacobs out there, Christian Watson out there, Jaden Reed out there. Dobbs would have played had he not been sick. Kraft out there. I think they wanted the sixth seed, which is fine because I wanted the sixth seed too. I saw a lot of people complaining before they lost this game 24-22 to the Bears about Christian Watson playing. Why was he even out there? I don't know if that injury had anything to do with his knee bruise or whatever that he had. My guess would be it does not when you have an injury like that where it's non-contact. So I'm not going to sit there and put that on him necessarily, LaFleur, as far as putting him back out there. Is there a chance for Christian Watson to get hurt every time he steps on the football field more than others? Yep. But again, as I've said before, and I'll say again, it's not his fault. Some dudes just injury prone, can't stay healthy throughout their career. And we've talked about before the idea of them getting another wide receiver in the offseason is something they have to do. They just have to. You can't rely on him. And if you can't rely on him, you have no true dominant one wide receiver. And it's very, very clear that they have got to figure out how to do that. They've got to figure out how to get themselves in that situation. Bears beat the Packers 24-22 as we go inside the box score. Thanks again to our fine folks over there at Steelwind Industries in Oak Creek, our guardian angels of our toy drive each and every year, this year being no exception. Donated a ton of toys at the toy drive at Blaine's Farm and Fleet this year. And thanks so much for them being a part of this postgame show throughout the year as well. Malik Willis, 10 of 13, 136 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, 3 sacks, 109.8 quarterback rating. Jordan Love, 7 of 12, 69 yards, 74.7 quarterback rating. I will open this up for discussion for everybody here. And let you vent. Or maybe you're on the CJ bandwagon, the Tommy Wirtz bandwagon of, Sparky, you're overreacting. You're mad about nothing. This game doesn't even matter. Maybe you're there. Let's talk. Nicolay Law, Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Has the hype machine on Malik Willis come down a little bit, do you think, Tommy, after this game?
I mean, yeah, I guess by default, it has to come down a little bit. If you'd have won the game, would it have come down? I don't think so. But they don't get the job done. So Malik Willis gets a little bit of heat for that. I do think the numbers, like that quarterback rating seems a little misleading because
he had 3 incompletions.
Right. He did hold on to the ball a little too long today. It seemed like it wasn't as smooth and crisp when he is in the offense sometimes. And maybe that was you didn't get Josh Jacobs to rely on you during that while he was out there too. But I do think it goes down a little bit, but I think you could argue that Malik Willis was a top five most valuable player for this Packers team this year?
Probably.
Right? I mean, you got to go McKinney and Jacobs and McManus have to be ahead of them.
Yes.
Those three, for sure. After that, where do you go? I mean, Malik Willis won three games virtually, had a very good shot to win this fourth one here. He never committed an interception. He did have his first turnover today with the fumble, but I don't know if that was really all his fault.
Oh, he didn't see it.
Looked like it was a blocking assignment missed. That's what Darryl Johnston.
Chip. He was chipped, and then nobody was there to help Love.
Right, and Johnston kept saying like that's because either the tight end was wrong or the lineman was wrong.
Yep.
Like that's why Malik Willis wasn't looking and seeing it. So again, by default. Yes, his stock goes a little down. His stock was at a ridiculous height, though, that was pretty hard to go any higher.
Can they win a playoff game with him if Love can play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't think so.
I'm not saying that it gives them the same chance, but you see zero possibility of a Malik Willis offense winning a game?
No, I don't think so. There's just, I still am not convinced that he can, you know, throw the ball 25 to 30 times in a game and win a football game. Because if it is Malik Willis, you would have to think Philadelphia, Minnesota, Detroit, all of them are going to come in, stack the box, and make him beat him with his arm. They'll have a spy linebacker, safety, whoever back there making sure he can't run on him. And they're going to make damn sure they don't lose to Josh Jacobs. So then he's going to have to throw it a bunch. And I just don't know if he can throw it a bunch and win a big playoff game with that type of pressure on the road on top of everything else. I think that's a really, really tough situation. Sorry, I just said was because we have the Jets-Dolphins game on TV here, and they try to run some trick play with Rodgers throwing to Davante Adams got the ball after he was pitched it by Rodgers. He came to the right, threw it back to Rodgers, who then didn't have anybody open, so he threw it back laterally across the field to Davante Adams, who got absolutely pummeled by a Dolphins defender. Poor Davante Adams, like double coverage and Garrett Wilson, like, oh my God. There was talks earlier today that this could be Aaron Rodgers' last game. If he goes out a loser like this, I would be absolutely shocked. I don't see it. There's no way. He is not ending his career with this garbage year. There's no chance.
Have you heard my vibes take on where he's going next year? I think he's a Giant.
Well, they're bringing back Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, according to Mara. So if they're both coming back, anything is possible. And sure, it would make sense, I guess, go across the street and play for the Giants next. I don't think any Giants fan would be excited to have him come across the street at this point, but we'll have to wait and see. All right, some of the tweets coming in after a 24-22 loss. Dream Big tweets at Sparky Radio. I have no expectations for them next week. I don't think they could beat last year's team. Love and the receivers have regressed since a year ago. I will tell you right now, I'm going to save or heart or whatever you do on Twitter or X nowadays, Dream Big, and I am going to use that as a topic this week on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Could this team beat last year's team? I think that is a heck of a good question. Continuing on inside the box score, Emmanuel Wilson, 14 carries, 73 yards, and a touchdown. Chris Brooks, 8 for 59. Josh Jacobs, 6 for 44 and a touchdown. Again, he had said on, what was it, Thursday or Friday, he didn't think he'd get 30 carries in this game, and obviously that was the plan going in, that they were going to try and rest him as much as they could. Malik Willis, one run for 3 yards. Jaden Reed had three handoffs for 3 yards. Bo Melton, one for one in that game. Receiving, Malik Heath, three catches for 53, including that big catch from Malik Willis. He had five targets. Dontavian Wicks, five catches out of six targets for 49 yards. Jaden Reed, two catches for 48 yards out of two targets. Tucker Kraft, four catches for 36 yards out of seven targets. Musgrave, one for 19, only targeted once. Josh Jacob, one catch for 2 yards, targeted once. Emmanuel Wilson had one catch for negative 2 yards. And then on the defensive side of the ball, we'll wait. We'll get to that in a little bit. Is there anything you would have wanted to have seen this Packers offense do differently today than maybe what they did do? You saw Malik Willis coming at quarterback when Love was out there healthy, and Love goes running out there at wide receiver, and Olsen's like, well, there you go. You're showing somebody something on tape that they have to get ready for, even if you know you don't intend on running it in the postseason. So that was one thing. Did they do anything else that you really liked today on offense?
Exactly.
I do think that the backup running backs showed up today. I don't think that there was anything to really complain about there. I liked what Brooks was doing. I liked what Wilson was doing when you knew Josh Jacobs wasn't going to get a full game. But other than that, no, the offense didn't really do anything that really caught my eye. I'm wondering if Luke Musgrave gets involved anymore because they've been working him in over the last few weeks. And, you know, his catch today was, it was a great one. I that play just completely puzzled me the entire time on how they handled it. But we've seen how much they've talked about the love for both their tight ends, and they refuse to use Tucker Kraft like he's a number one, a possibility for a number one option. So let's open up the tight end position to be a number one option, whether it's Musgrave or Kraft, and try to get both of them some more attempts, I think, because we're again, for maybe the last month, finding a reason to complain about the wide receiver room and how no one is asserting themselves as the number one. Yep. Let's try to find one here before the playoffs. That is my biggest worry, is that if the Packers want to go through the air, I mean, who do you want going up to get the ball right now?
Kraft. I want Tucker Kraft. And I think it was it Charlie Usen, somebody brought up on Friday that they should get Musgrave involved in this game, throw him the ball a bunch in this game, let people be concerned about him on tape. You were running three tight end sets in that game. I saw it multiple times out there on the field with Sims, Kraft, and Musgrave. So they were all out there. But again, you don't take advantage necessarily. Remember, when they drafted Musgrave, he was supposed to be the deep threat. Kraft was supposed to be the rumbling, stumbling, big, bulky tight end that was more of a run blocker, occasionally catch one 5 yards. That's what they thought they were getting. Then they learned last year after Musgrave got hurt that Kraft was way more athletic and way better than they thought he was. So then they changed gears a little bit. Musgrave, like Watson, hasn't been able to stay healthy. So you really still haven't seen what he is. Blocking is probably a little bit questionable. Still got to work on that. But as far as stretching the middle of the field and throwing it down the middle, they just don't do that enough with these tight ends, Tommy.
No, they do not. And I wonder if they are still concerned about bringing Luke Musgrave back from injury. I wonder if they have lost faith in Luke Musgrave over the year as it's gone on, because he has been healthy the last few weeks. I want to know what Matt LaFleur, if any week he's ever highlighting another player other than Josh Jacobs to have the big game, because I don't see that with Matt LaFleur at all. Looking how much stock Jaden Reed lost this year, that was a guy we thought could be a really great weapon. Christian Watson at moments was having some of his best times of his career on the deep ball, and then of course he's got another Greg Oden situation, he can't stay on the floor. I don't think Matt LaFleur ever has a plan right now if it's not Josh Jacobs. That is another one that concerns me, because they need him, and he's obviously been their best player, and he can have a huge workload on him. But Matt LaFleur, if Josh Jacobs is eliminated from a game or taken out of a game, has struggled a lot this year.
Let's talk about some of the tweets that are coming in. Jason tweets, secondary is again an issue. And defensive line, no pass rush. Next year, they need a stud number one wide receiver. None of these four good to average guys that they have. I think that's kind of where we're at, right? That they are, these guys are good to average. But there's nobody great at this point, right? You've seen flashes of great from Christian Watson. You've seen flashes of great from Jaden Reed. Last year, you saw flashes of great from Dontayvion Wicks, even, where some people in the offseason thought he was going to end up being the number one wide receiver on this team. Dobbs, I don't know. I can't let myself get to being thinking of him as a one. But those other three, you've seen that from. But nobody's been able to do it consistently enough or be able to stay healthy long enough to prove that they can be that guy. So I think that is obviously going to be an issue. I got a ton of tweets. Logan tweets at the Fan Milwaukee and at Sparky Radio, why are we playing three deep safeties 35 yards downfield when the Bears just needed 10 yards for a field goal? Same thing Tommy was saying here when we were watching it. Why are they playing so far off? And on TV, you could see the green field goal line, where it was. And you're like, whoa, what are we doing? And then the dude comes right across into field goal territory, right where they needed to be. And for the second game in a row against the Bears, Caleb Williams moves his team in to position to win a football game. The Bears, very well, should have won both those games, and the Packers should be 0-6 in the division. The Bears should have beat them both times.
That was also after a timeout was called to set up for that play. That's the worst part about it.
Well, remember, Luke Getsy's helping on defense.
The defense deserves
Luke Getsy.
The defense had a very good game up until that last play right there. A very good game. They got screwed on a field possession where they were on the 25-yard line where they gave up a touchdown, and another touchdown is on the fake punt. The defense was solid all game. They had they had maybe their best quarter of the year. It was negative 4 yards for Chicago, and they were winning the game in the first. What more do you want the defense to do? They committed 2 turnovers today on top of it, and they did get to Caleb Williams, just not when they needed to, and they were really good on third down until the end of the game. I don't think the defense. I think the defense played a solid B plus performance.
They played well
today.
Enough to win.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. They did a solid B plus. I don't think that this game you leave thinking that the defense gets carved up. Edgerrin Cooper is complete game changer for the rush defense. I know with that against Saquon Barkley too that you're worried he's going to go off and have a huge game against Green Bay.
Yep.
Their run defense is very good in the NFL, and Edgerrin Cooper isn't even really a part of those stats until the last month because of how much he's been playing. I think that this Green Bay Packers team, it matches up very well on the defensive side against Philadelphia, and I love an opportunity where Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown a pass in a month.
You can talk about that, and you'll have the opportunity to talk about that all week long, again, because Tommy Wirtz produces multiple shows here on The Fan. First, you'll hear Tommy Wirtz a little bit tomorrow morning with Andy Herman hosting the Pack-A-Day radio show from 8 to 9 a.m. on a Green and Gold Monday. Then from 9 to 11, it's the Mason Crosby Show. The former Packers kicker is on the air every day, Monday through Friday from 9 to 11, along with Mitch Thunder Nellis, who returns from his two-week vacation coming up tomorrow. Then it's the Rich Eisen Show debuting on The Fan tomorrow from 11 till 2, and then I'll be on the air again from 2 until 5 with Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's. This is the thing. If we just say, forget Philadelphia, forget that they're playing Jalen Hurts, forget Saquon, forget the wide receivers, forget all of that stuff. Right now, as a Packers fan, I don't know what you're confident about. What are you confident about with this team, knowing that there is a playoff game, possibly 6 days away, depending on, keep an eye on Twitter for that, by the way, see if the schedule comes out, possibly Saturday. They may play Saturday, and this thing may be over quickly in Philadelphia. They could play Saturday night. They could play Sunday. They could get the Monday night game. I don't know if I really want Sunday night. I definitely don't want Monday night. I don't want Monday night. I'd rather have it be Saturday night and be done with it and let's move on. Yeah. If I had my choice, I would want Saturday night at this point.
I don't know. Saturday kind of messes up a lot of things for me. I don't want a night game on Monday night. Absolutely. That's number one. But I'd rather just play Sunday. Keep it simple. Do it that way.
No way.
I think they're going to put them on Sunday. I think
it's too big. It's going to be a primetime game.
I agree. That's why I don't think Saturday is really in play. I don't think Saturday night's as primetime as Sunday night or Monday night. So I do think that.
But is there Sunday night, or is it Sunday noon and Sunday 3? Or is it 3 and Sunday night? The schedule for the NFL wildcard round. Just look it up. NFL wildcard schedule, and you'll see. Maybe there is Sunday night football for the wildcard round. So maybe it is like Saturday is a late game, afternoon game, and then it's a Saturday night game normally. I thought Sunday was an early game and a 3 o'clock game, similar to what a regular Sunday is.
They have a lot of TBDs by time still, so I don't think that they have the slots necessarily released even of like what they're going
to
do.
The TV has to be lined up. NBC's getting one game. They're going to get one. So
right.
It's just a matter if they're are Saturday night going to be their game in place of a Sunday night game, and then Fox and CBS then gets the Sunday games maybe. I don't know who would get the other Saturday game necessarily. Maybe NFL Network. And then you have Monday Night Football on ESPN.
Do you think a streaming gets one? Amazon or a Peacock probably?
Ooh, good question.
Didn't Peacock get one last year?
I don't know. Google it and see. Wildcard TV rights and see what that ends up being. But either way, my point is this. What are you feeling confident in with this Packers team right now as we sit? Forget the fact that they're playing Philly. Could be Tampa, could have been the Rams, could have been anybody. It's Philly, but forget the fact that they're playing Philly. Going into the playoffs, you want to be feeling good about your team. You want to be feeling confident of, I know this will happen. I know this will happen. I know this will happen. These are all positives that I'm happy in. I'll give you my one positive that I have right now. Brandon McManus is a stud. That's my one positive I have right now for certain. I know I can rely on McManus in a playoff game.
What certainties do you have? Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us as well at The Fan Milwaukee. Again, that's at The Fan Milwaukee. Also, could check out us on Facebook. Tommy Wirtz running the Facebook controls as well. What are the certainties that you are confident in going into the playoffs after what we just watched here the last couple of weeks? To me, the only certainty that I have, well, the first certainty, maybe not the only, but the one certainty that I do know I have is Brandon McManus at this point. Have you ever thought about becoming your own boss? Now is the time. Maybe it's time to join the Young Express team. They're looking for full-time independent contractors. Those of you that can drive locally, right? Within about 250 miles of Milwaukee. It's a beautiful thing. You're driving from point A to point B. They have a 24/7 dispatch team. So over 700 direct customers and extremely dedicated, taking it very personal to keep drivers moving. And 99% no-touch freight, so you're not lifting anything. The freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is drive. Stress-free lifestyle, baby. Put the windows down, turn up the radio to The Fan, and drive, baby, drive, and get paid for it, too. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's J-U-N-G-Express.com. Young Express, success drives them. All right, what did we figure out here? Does Amazon or anybody have wild card games?
It looks like ESPN gets the Monday night game.
Which they always do. Yeah.
Right. So, and I think that NBC is going to simulcast it with Peacock right now. Doesn't look like there's any other streaming ones. I'm not seeing something for the Amazon Prime. It says listed, but it's not showing what game here, too. So maybe Amazon Prime has one, too. But as of right now, it looks like just the Monday. Oh, Peacock is going to get the night game with NBC on January 12th.
Yeah, Prime, let's see here. I have it right here.
I have the number. I have the times as well,
you
too.
You do. All right, so go ahead.
Okay, so at 4:30 is the first game.
3:30 Central.
3:30 Central, correct, is going to be January 11th. This is Saturday.
Right.
And then 7
night
o'clock
game.
At night.
Yep.
Then you go to Sunday, three games, noon, 3:30, 7:15, and then 7:15 again for Monday night.
I'll say they end up with Saturday night, Sunday night, or Monday night. I bet you they do not put them during the day. Packer fan base is awfully big. And if it's Philadelphia, another major market, those are two big markets, they're going to want them at night. They're going to end up in one of the primetime slots. If they're not, I would be really, really surprised.
I think it's going to be Sunday night.
Yeah, they're going to get one of them. So we'll see what happens. And as far as Amazon goes, they do get a playoff game this year.
Okay. It's not listed on this Sports Nation, Sporting News one here.
I Googled it and came up with a story off NFL Network right here. And it says, after trying out the first playoff game exclusively on a streaming service to massive success, the NFL is giving it another shot in 2025. Amazon Prime Video will broadcast a wildcard playoff game next postseason per the Wall Street Journal. This was in February of 2024.
They're probably going to get that AFC South game.
So they're going to get one of them.
The Texans or the NFC South game, whatever one they play, I would assume. They're going to give them a low-profile game.
We will see. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Come back on the other side. Continue to hear from you. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We want to hear from Jordan Love and anybody else talking in this locker room. I would think it's a deflated locker room. I want to get updates on Jordan Love. I'm sure you do, too. Christian Watson, I'm sure we won't hear much on him, but based on what we saw there, it doesn't look very good, folks. I'm just being honest. Maybe they get away with it and it ends up not being a god-awful injury at the end. The one thing you do not want to have happen is you do not want this to be some type of injury where it costs them all of next season. And that is the problem with all of this is you don't want Watson to be lost for next season, right? Because it happens at the end of this season. So if this is a ACL or something crazy like that, then we're talking about a really long thing. And LaFleur did talk about Watson's knee. Not super confident about that right now. So that's not a good sign either. And the fact that Watson, when he was getting carted off the field, had his hands covering his eyes. I'm not going to say he was crying for certain, but I would guess that he was probably pretty emotional after being told what they thought the injury was. Packers lose 24-22. Still time for you, Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at The Fan Milwaukee. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios. Sparky with you.
over and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Packers come up losers today, 24-22 to the Chicago Bears. It wasn't good. They didn't play well for a majority of the game, if we're being honest. Christian Watson gone to injury. We'll hear what Matt LaFleur has to say about that. Jordan Love gone to injury. Feels to be some confidence level about Jordan Love being okay possibly for next week against Philadelphia. We'll hear from him as well as from Matt LaFleur. McManus kicks a 55-yard field goal that you would have thought would have won the game with 50-some seconds left against a 10-game losing streak Chicago Bears, a team that the Packers have historically beat. But instead, the Bears go into the offseason feeling better about themselves after getting that win. Caleb Williams twice put them in possession to beat the Packers. They couldn't get it done the first time with a blocked field goal. They get it done this time. Packers history on Twitter says the Packers finished the season 1-5 against the NFC North. Their fewest wins in the division since 2018 when they were 1-4-1. Their lowest win percentage against the North, 167, since 2005, Tommy Wirtz.
Yeah, that's a problem. I understand that. I can take that in as a problem. But I still think that 11-6, you're going to feel like a pretty successful season was underway in Green Bay.
I don't think anybody feels like it's a success right now. But yeah, I mean, looking back at history, more double-digit win seasons for LaFleur and the Packers, yes. History will be better than what emotional Packer fans are thinking right now about this football season, which doesn't feel like there's a lot of positive energy around this team as we currently sit. As we broadcast live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. See Sparky Pfeiffer here. That was Tommy Wirtz. Don't forget, Green and Gold Monday tomorrow. Our guy Andy Herman with the Pack-A-Day radio show from 8 until 9 a.m. Then from 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby Show, former Packers kicker with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Then it's the debut of the Rich Eisen Show here on The Fan from 11 until 2. And then back at it again tomorrow afternoon, myself and Charlie Usen with Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Let's hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
You know, just it was, a kind of a sloppy game all in all. Had far too many miscues. We knew going into the game that you better win the ball. And we had the two turnovers that one of them certainly led to points. The other one we busted protection and as we're driving in the second half and coughed it up there. And then at the end of the game, that's squarely on me. Just got caught in a situation where we were planning on going for it. And they felt like Brandon could make that field goal. And hindsight's 20/20. I wish I wouldn't have taken the time out because it gave them obviously way too much time to go down and operate. So like I told the team, I mean, that's on me. That can't happen. So it's just we got to wipe this as soon as possible. Like it's a new season now. It's everybody's 0-0. We knew we were going to have to go on the road, so we're going to have to go on the road to Philly, and we'll figure out what day we play, and we'll have a plan in place. But obviously, very disappointed right now.
Did you, Jordan, have gone
that timeout on third down before you ran it?
Yeah, you could have. I mean, we thought we had something going, you know, with some of the no huddle stuff, just pounding the ball in there. They were in 3-week. We didn't get the Z to motion across, so we were kind of out leveraged there, and then we lost yardage. So wasn't anticipating that, but that was the circumstance, and that's why I called the timeout, because we went backwards, you know, because I was planning on going for it right there.
Have gone back in and you just hold him out as a precaution?
Yeah, he was good to go back in. In fact, we thought that there was a chance that he was going to have to go back in the game because Malik got his thumb hit and he couldn't really feel it. So, but we, you know, I thought Malik went in there and I thought he played tough, man. I thought he did a lot of good things. He gave guys an opportunity. Malik Heath came through with some big catches. Jaden Reed made some big catches. All those guys competed, and that's why it's just so disappointing, because I felt like our guys went out there and they played hard, and I thought our defense for the most part dominated, but when you give up a return for a touchdown and then they get a short field like they did in that first half. That's just too much.
Before their field goal, it looked like you guys were given the middle of the field there. What's the time limit on when, you know?
Typically, it's 12 seconds. That's usually what we go by. Third and 15. You know, I wasn't anticipating them getting a slant for however meant 20 yards or whatever it was, and they went down. We weren't slow off the pile, and they were able to clock it. And so, all in all, it's bad ball.
An idea of how serious Christian's knee is?
Yeah, I'm not super confident about that right now.
So how do you, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter because of the playoff seeding and all that, but how do you get these guys turned around in a hurry and kind of reset?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's just the nature of this beast. Is certainly didn't want to go into the playoffs like this, but that's our circumstance, and so we got to be tough-minded and got to be critical, and just got to flip the script as soon as possible and move on to the next game. And like I said, it's a whole new season, and if we know we got a tough road in front of us, but I think got one that guys are going to attack for sure.
Matt, you know, you strip away all the crazy stuff that happened today, but the first couple of drives with Jordan when everybody's in the game and you just can't seem to get anything going in the passing game, what is going wrong with the pass game?
Yeah, it hasn't been good. I mean, you know, credit them. They did a nice job. And it is extremely frustrating right now. So I think that's something that we're going to have to take a deep dive into, and we have been. It's not like it's anything new, but we got to do a better job.
Given the circumstances today, you have a playoff spot locked up no matter what happens. Do you feel like that had any effect on your team's just mental sharpness coming in?
I don't know. I mean, I think everything's fair game right now. I mean, in terms of just all of us, it's a collective, and it always starts with me. And like I said, I'm disappointed that I put our team in that situation at the end of the game, because just being indecisive, and you can't do that in those critical moments, because it came back and burned us.
Matt, you talked about how Jordan would have been good to go to return. What was the balancing act of deciding whether or not he did return?
Well, that's a great question. It was just once Malik said he was good to go, we felt like that was the route we wanted to go.
Was there any part of you that said, well, maybe put Love back in there and get him going again, you know, heading into the playoffs, just some rhythm in the offense?
Yeah, that definitely crossed my mind. But, you know, I thought, again, just it. I think it's harder to, you know, you start a game, you come out of the game, then go back in the game. Just thought it was, especially with what had transpired with Christian, and we, you know, like we played Josh limitedly, so just went the other route.
Was Watson being active dependent on Romeo?
Yeah, that had a lot to do with it. Yeah.
Okay. So let's stop it right there, and let's have a couple of conversations. Okay, let's have a couple of conversations about what we heard from Matt LaFleur. Tommy Wirtz is nodding. Yes, please.
Oh my God.
What irritates you with what you heard, Tommy Wirtz?
That last sentence is just awful. That is awful to hear, that because Romeo Doubs is sick in a game that virtually means nothing, and
you're
in
wrong.
Hindsight
you're
means
wrong.
Nothing.
They did not want to go to Philly. I'm telling you, he did not want to go to Philly.
Was this a completely healthy week for Christian Watson? No.
No, it wasn't.
No.
No, but you keep saying it meant nothing. I don't think they viewed it that way is my point.
Okay, fine. In a game that meant the difference of one seed, that is a terrible excuse to play Christian Watson, who has been glass all year and his entire career. And maybe inevitably it happens next week and whatever, but I hate that sentence will be a topic on one of the two shows coming up on a Green and Gold Monday, either the Packaday Radio or the Mason Crosby Show. Christian Watson playing in the game because Romeo Doubs is sick is a oh man. No, I don't like that at all. That's a terrible. That it's so unnecessary for him to play this game. They shouldn't have played any of their starters, honestly. But to hear that Christian Watson gets hurt because they wanted one more guy out there because Romeo Doubs had a bug is that's a really bad look for Matt LaFleur, in my opinion.
So, again, so if Doubs is healthy, Watson's out. But since Doubs wasn't healthy, he's just sick, right? I mean, there's no injury. He was sick. He tried to go. He couldn't. He just wasn't himself. So, fine. So then Watson has to play at that point. And then again, non-contact injury. Watson now done, possibly not only for now, but maybe for next year as well, depending on the severity of this knee injury, which, as you heard LaFleur say earlier, he wasn't super confident in where that was going, which way that was going one way or the other. But I think, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, I don't think he'll ever do this again. I don't. I think going, because what happened was a couple of years ago when they pulled their starters at halftime and then lost that game and then went and got beat by San Francisco that following week with Rodgers, that put a bad taste in his mouth. Like, I should have just played my guys all the way through. I'm not doing that again. So now he comes into this game with that same mindset of, okay, I'm not resting guys or pulling guys. I'm just going to play my guys. And then the Watson move happens and then he reacts, right? Of, oh no, now Jordan Love. Yep, that's it. I'm done. We're not playing anybody. So then Josh Jacobs, you're done. Jordan Love, you're not going back in either because I don't want anybody else getting hurt. You just think now going forward, if this happens again next year, that he's just not going to play anybody. That Love will not play in that last game if it's down to seeding again or whatever the case may be. Watson, if he's back, don't know. If he's back, or Josh Jacobs, if he's in question, he'll just sit guys now, which is exactly what Philadelphia did. That's what Kansas City did today. A lot of teams decided to go that way.
Well,
today,
it's better to compare it to the Rams, right? Because the Rams had their playoff spot locked up in terms of they're going to win their division, their seed can move.
Correct.
Right? And similar with Green Bay, they were going to be a wild card team, their seed can move. And Jimmy Garoppolo is playing right now for the Rams, and Blake Corum is the starting running back right now for the Rams. McVay knew he was going to win the division, knew he's getting a home playoff game. Who cares? Let's go play whoever we got to play. That's what the mindset should have been for Green Bay as well.
I think it's completely different. When you're talking about playing at home and whoever you get at home, that's one thing. Going on the road to face, say, Philly or one of these other teams that aren't as good as Philly by any measurement, that I think is a completely different mindset if you're the Packers. Now, you get yourself in a situation where you don't play well for three quarters against the Vikings. Now you come back here and you don't look good for a majority of the game against the Chicago Bears. So that's two bad games in a row. You haven't had a good performance in like 3 weeks against that pathetic Saints team. And now you have to go in the playoffs and try and find your confidence again.
Okay, here's my question now to you. Let's just say Cairo Santos misses that kick and the Commanders lose their game today.
And
the exact same game happens today, other than the kick doesn't go in. Is your expectation the Packers win as the sixth seed? They win a game.
So now they're the sixth seed?
They win that game.
I have more confidence that they win that game. I would be 50-50 that they win as the sixth seed. I'm at zero that they win this game against Philly.
Interesting.
That's a big difference, right? I'm not saying here telling you, oh yeah, Packers would win by 10 if they were the sixth seed. I'm not saying that. But I think it's 50-50. I think it's a coin flip that they can win as a sixth seed against anybody not named Philly, Minnesota, or Detroit. This game against Philly, no faith, zero.
I just think of it as that if this is the game we saw out of Green Bay, except the kick misses, a lot of the expectations don't change a lot. I think a lot of people expect them to lose in the first round, whoever they're playing, so it doesn't really weigh in on me what the performance was today. If that's exactly what we see and just the kick misses and Washington loses, I think most fans are still expecting them to lose the game.
I don't know. I mean, your opinion of Philly versus my opinion of Philly obviously are completely different. You're banking on Jalen Hurts sucking because he has only had a couple of snaps in the last month. That's your whole logic, which is fine. And maybe you'll be right. Maybe he will suck. Maybe the Packers will shock the world and pull the upset. And I'll gladly come on postgame next week and go, well, you were right, Tommy. Absolutely right on it, right. But right now, as we sit today and as I go through this week, I am worried about that Philadelphia offense being all kinds of problems. Now, did they get pass rush today against one of the worst teams as far as giving up sacks, or the worst team giving up sacks in the NFL? Yeah. Did they finish all the time? No. Mosby missed multiple sacks. Cooper had a chance at another sack.
They got some pressure, for sure. But now they're going to face a good team, like Minnesota was, and they struggled to get any pressure last week against Sam Darnold. And now you're going to try and get pressure on a mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts, where if you do get pressure on Jalen Hurts, he could just run away from you and be upfield and gone for 10 or 15 yards. So you have that to concern yourself with on top of everything else. And you know what that means, don't you, with Jeff Hafley? That means we're not going to blitz a ton. We're going to run for and try and contain Hurts from running and going to give him all day to throw the football. And then it's going to be, well, if he picks us apart, you know, for 15 play drives, we're okay with it. And I'll tell you right now, if that's how they approach this game against Philly, they're going to get hammered.
The game plan for that worked really well against Arizona this year.
Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray, not the same. Jalen Hurts,
Kyler Murray, much more mobile than Jalen Hurts.
Yes, but the weaponry around Jalen Hurts is way far superior to what Kyler Murray is working
100%,
with.
100%.
Not even close. So, From that standpoint, you're going to let A.J. Brown run around for 3 or 4 seconds, and what cornerback is going to stay with him exactly for that long? I mean, there's not. You're just not going to have it. And now you're going to bracket coverage A.J. Brown? Fine. Now good luck stopping the rest of the weapons for Philadelphia. I wouldn't be surprised if Saquon Barkley was a big part of this offensive game plan against Green Bay, where he catches 5 or 6 balls in this game. A couple screen passes, catches a couple ones over the middle, makes a guy miss, and off to the races he goes. I don't want to be negative about next week. I want to stay focused on this week. I have all week to be negative about the game next week. We're still waiting to find out day and time on that one. Once we find it out, we'll let you know. Let's continue on with the Matt LaFleur presser. All right, there is Matt LaFleur talking about the psyche. Some strong words said in that locker room. We'll see what happens. Again, you go back to Elgton Jenkins. Was it on Twitter or Instagram or whatever? Had a poop emoji and said, getting weirder and weirder is what he said at the end of last week going into this game. Now, again, what that means, who knows? That could be something in his personal life, could be the football team, could be anything that he's referencing. But, of course, as soon as that gets put out, everybody feels like that has something to do with the Packers going into this game. And now you get Philadelphia. You get to travel to Philadelphia, which means it's going to be cold weather more than likely. That you're going to have to deal with. And Philadelphia is not an easy place to play, man. That place can get loud and rambunctious and could be a problem. This is not going to be a neutral field in Brazil like it was back in week one. You're going to have to play in a hostile territory. Now, they went into Seattle and did their thing and had Packer fans everywhere. I'm not quite so sure you're going to have as many Packer fans in Philadelphia as you did necessarily in Seattle for that first game. I don't see that really happening. Necessarily. I don't think Philly fans are going to be selling their tickets left and right for that one. And I think if you're Philly, yeah, there's a lot of people going, oh boy, if you're Philly, you don't want to play Green Bay. Why? Why don't you want to play Green Bay? What gives you fear of playing Green Bay if you're the Philadelphia Eagles at this point, after watching that fiasco that played out today? I mean, if you're the Eagles and you're watching their offense here for the first 3 quarters of last week and then the 4 quarters of this week, I don't think I'm all that nervous if I'm the Philly defense at this point, Tommy.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia's defense is going to be one of the better defenses they're going to play over the last few weeks here for sure. But I want to say that the offense the entire season at points, we've seen just that there's a lack of improvisation in this offense, and that things do need to go really well, it feels like, for Jordan Love with the script and the reads. I haven't seen a lot of him making a lot of plays that went successful in this back half right now. It's been a lot of on paper. Matt LaFleur seemed like he had a good plan for the offense, and once they get knocked off that track, it doesn't seem to work. And I'm going to say this right now. The Packers better not take the ball first in the playoffs. I'm over that.
They're going to.
I'm over it.
That's been his thing this year.
It's ridiculous that they're taking the ball first every time. I want a second half possession to start the second half. That's what I want for the playoffs.
I don't think it's going to happen. Especially when you're on the road and you want to take the crowd out of it early. I'm guessing that's why they're going to take the ball first. Now, you could very well let Philly take the ball first if you think your defense can get a stop. But the worst-case scenario, if we're looking at it from worst-case scenarios, is Philly drives the ball downfield and scores right away, and it's 7-0 before Jordan Love gets onto the football field. You're chasing and you're losing. I think that's part of why you do what you do. And that is the fact that you want to have confidence up on this team. When defense comes on the field, you want to have them be up 3-0, be up 7-0, and have the lead. You don't want the offense coming on the field for the first time already being down points. I would imagine that's part of the thinking. 24-22, Bears over the Green Bay Packers. We'll hear from Packers quarterback Jordan Love coming up next. It's Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky here.
It's time for the drive of the game. Which drive was the most impressive by Green Bay today? Which was the most important? It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Packers lose 24-22 as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, as you heard. Tommy Wirtz producing the show, other side of the glass. Don't forget, Green and Gold Monday tomorrow. All day talking about this Packers loss to the Bears, getting ready for the Eagles. Pack-a-Day radio show tomorrow morning, 8 to 9 here on The Fan. Then that's with Andy Herman. 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby show with Mitch Thunder Nellis from 9 to 11. Then the debut of the Rich Eisen show on The Fan from 11 to 2. You'll be able to hear him weekdays going forward from 11 to 2. And then, of course, after that, it is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's with myself, Charlie Husen, producing the show tomorrow. It's going to be weird tomorrow, Tommy Wirtz, doing one show. It's been a while since I've done one show in a day.
I know. I might miss you.
I'm going to be so confused tonight, not having a call with you at some point or a text conversation about what we're doing tomorrow.
It doesn't really change what time you get in. Usually you're in before 9 o'clock, right?
Correct. Anyway. No, it doesn't change that. It's just trying to come up with 15 topics a day or whatever the case may be.
Man,
depending
this week's
going to
be
shows.
Just a breeze for you after that.
Yes, indeed. I'm looking very forward to it. Indeed, yes. But I had a lot of fun last week. It was a lot of fun doing the shows with Mason for the last week and a half. Filling in for Andy was a lot of fun doing shows.
A little
with
bit
me
of
Tommy.
Update too. Mason will be on this Wednesday, will not be on this Friday.
Oh.
Typically he misses Wednesdays.
Correct.
He's Monday through Thursday this week, will not be on Friday.
Is he going to the playoff game in Philly?
No shot. I don't know what I can't remember what he's doing. He's probably, you know, he takes like mini vacations, like how he
like
can,
weekend getaways.
Right.
Oh, I know what he's doing. Never mind. I know exactly what I'm not going to get into it. I know what he's doing. He was supposed to do it this last weekend, and there was a big snowstorm where they were going.
Oh, it's the same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
So it got moved to next weekend instead. So
yes.
I know what he's doing.
But he does have 4 days next week still.
Yes. So Monday through Thursday next week for Mason Crosby. So that's a good thing, obviously. All right, let's talk in here. Not talk to, but hear from Packers quarterback Jordan Love. I will say that Matt LaFleur presser, he was way more upbeat and happy and positive. I thought there would have been some anger tones to him going into this. We've heard those before where he's just not in the mood to talk to anybody and clearly does not want to be there. But he was pretty all right in that press conference. I thought he was pretty chilled and laid back and was willing to answer questions and be honest and forthright. And I thought that was a pretty good job by LaFleur. All right, here is Jordan Love from earlier. I've never played, you know, football like that one way or the other. But, I mean, it's been hours since that happened and he still got numbness, and they're telling him the numbness will go away. I hope that they are correct, that the numbness will go away. I don't think I want to hear on Wednesday that he still has some numbness and is not practicing this week. I hope we don't hear that. I really hope it goes away like the trainers say it's going to. You know, they obviously know more than me, but I do not want to hear in the middle of the week numbness is not going away and we don't know if he's going to play. Please do not let that happen. Stop right there. Now listen, I'm not questioning the whole mindset of a player of, okay, it's 0-0 now, and we're gonna go out there and we're gonna go win one for the Gipper. We're gonna go win this game. Okay, that's cool. I'm all about that. But you're not a damn robot. I mean, you have feelings, you have a memory, you have a brain, right? My thing has always been momentum is huge. I've talked about it. In any sport, I think momentum is huge. There are some that disagree, some that don't think momentum is a thing, that you're as good as your next play, or you're as good as your last at bat, or you're as good as the last pitch thrown, or good as the last throw thrown, whatever. Some people don't believe in momentum at all. I do. Now, in this situation here, mark my words, when they get Philadelphia next week, if one thing goes wrong early in that game, this whole thing could snowball on the Packers immediately because of what's happened the last two games. And again, they're not robots. Like, they're going to be like, oh, crap, here we go again. This is what we saw the last 2 weeks. That's my concern, Tommy Wirtz.
I was nodding in agreement with you. That does feel like a possibility, that this team, if they came out flat against Philadelphia on the first possession, second drive, whatever it might be, they could totally lose all of this. And I think that goes back to their age, right? I know we've heard it the entire season how they're the youngest team in the NFL. I still don't think that the expectations for this team are changing all that much, though. I want to say that repeatedly, that this offense is going to do what they're going to do every week. They're going to go out there, put up 25, 30 points a game. Their defense is going to be the question mark. And if they can not just have an absolutely atrocious performance on special teams, I don't think it wavers all that much. I think Jordan Love's going to make sure that that team goes out and puts up 28 points, however it can happen. If the defense can make a play for him, Jordan Love likes to take advantage of that. Did you see, I think it was Jordan Love's last drive out there, they tried to do the hurry up when the Luke Musgrave catch happened,
right?
And it was just that drive, they were doing a lot of pacing things to move the offense a little quicker, and they're moving the ball downfield, and then the Luke Musgrave obviously catches the ball, then they get replay assisted that
he was
didn't
frustrated
catch it.
That he had to throw the flag.
And then Matt LaFleur was frustrated, and then I think they ended up settling for a field goal on that drive. I want to see Matt LaFleur implement that. I brought it up last week on the post-game show. Change up the pace a little bit.
Yeah, they did no tempo change whatsoever. They ran no 2 minute during the game.
No, and I don't understand why they don't do that, because they love to do it to draw men off sides. Yep. They love to do it to catch guys in offside situations to change tempo. The offense has had great moments when you get a little more pep in the step and more speed to the tempo of the game. Why not mix it up? And maybe it's something, again, that's in his back pocket that he didn't want to show Philadelphia. But obviously, you can't continue to do the same things over and over expecting different results here, Matt LaFleur.
That's it. I think you put it perfectly. You can't do the same thing over and over again and think results are going to change. All season long, it's been the constant of, we got to play four clean quarters. We got to play good four quarters, you know, put together a really solid game for four quarters. They haven't done it all year. They haven't. And you heard Greg Olsen talk about it on the broadcast of LaFleur telling him that, hey, man, we want to come out and play a clean game. And that went right out the window. You had the punt return. You had the turnover. Like, it was the other thing. Why is it every team in this league has somebody that's good at punching the ball out except the Green Bay Packers? Why is that? Is it just me?
Other than the Evan Williams one this year, right?
That's it. Every week, I feel like somebody's punching a ball out against the Packers. Just right there, boom. Jalen Johnson, literally, dude was running by him and just threw out his fist, boom, knocked it out. And there went the ball. We have nobody. Like Xavier McKinney, offseason. Man, that's a goal. I have goals for you, right? Let's have somebody figure out what Peanut Tillman used to do back in the day, the peanut punch, and figure out how to do it. Go work out with Peanut Tillman. I don't care what y'all do. But that should be something that these DBs especially, and the safeties and the corners, they all should know how to do this to some degree. Like, all get together as a group and go practice and get better at it, because that is a huge weapon to have. If you're good at it, you can get turnovers every week.
I agree, and it should be something that we see more from front guys, too, on the front seven. We didn't get a lot of turnovers created, and we didn't have pressure consistently all year from any of those front four guys. I remember the Inekpari against Jacksonville. Was that the fumble where he came free running, right? I mean, that's really the only play I can remember, a strip sack or some sort of big play from a hit at any point.
I don't remember hardly anything of a running back getting a ball punched out or a wide receiver getting a ball punched out when they had the ball.
Tom Oates had tweeted this out, and I'm sure you saw it, but
formerly of the Wisconsin State Journal.
He had said the Packers' to-do list this Sunday: number one, play a clean game.
Nope.
Number two, beat the Bears.
Nope.
Number three, earn the sixth seed in the playoffs.
Nope.
Number four, keep key players healthy.
Nope.
Number five, gain momentum for the playoffs.
And nope.
They went 0-5 on those, he says.
Absolutely. Wasn't even close. It wasn't even close to being 5-5, really, at the end of the day. I mean, it was, I guess, with 56 seconds left and with like 6 seconds to go in the Washington-Dallas game, you had a chance to steal the 16. You had a chance at that point because you were up. Washington was down there going for it, trying to score a touchdown to win it versus just kicking the field goal to tie it against Dallas. They would try to win it, and Mariota did win it for them with like 2 seconds to go on the clock or whatever the case may be. Jesse tweets at Sparky Radio, it starts with coaching. Bad play calling, horrible special teams coaching, and soft defense on that last series. What words do the Packers have for that? All right, let's go here. Horrible special teams coaching. I think Bisaccia has done a good job this year. I know you can be mad about that return today, fine. But outside of that, I think Bisaccia did way better this year than he did last year, Tommy.
Yeah, I agree. I think Brandon McManus definitely bails him out of that a little bit.
A kicker is a kicker. Whatever. That's a Goody thing.
Terrible job covering every single kickoff today.
Today, yes.
Every single kickoff. Yeah. But I agree. Overall, this season, special teams was not the liability it's been in years past.
Exactly. I don't put the kicker on him necessarily. At the end of the day, because he can't kick the damn ball. Now, if you're going to, you know, hammer the table to keep somebody and that guy stinks, okay, well, that's different.
Did he vouch to have Narvison get traded for and make the team other than Greg Joseph? That's a bad call then.
That I don't know. I don't know if that was a Goody call or if that was a him call. That I don't know. But I'm just saying, once we're in the game and the guy makes or misses the field goal, I don't know if I could put that necessarily on Bisaccia. Coverage units are definitely on Bisaccia.
Yes.
No question. Right? You get a blocked field goal to win a game. Bisaccia deserves credit for that. Sorry to say it. He said they saw something during the week and we're like, well, we're going to attack it. And they did, and they blocked Santos' field goal to beat him the first time. Otherwise, they'd be 0-2 against the Chicago Bears.
Do you think he played a role in anything on a timeout needing to be called at the end there?
Saw him and LaFleur debating back and forth, and the last thing you saw on camera from LaFleur was, because they were like, oh, they're talking about it. And what didn't you tell me? The fact that they're talking about it is not a good sign.
I don't like that, yes.
And then you saw the last thing that camera saw. If you go back, if you have a DVR or whatever, and you rewind it, the last thing LaFleur said was, okay, we're going to go for it. And then he started looking down at his call sheet. And then the camera panned away from them. And then all of a sudden, McManus comes running onto the field like he didn't know. And they went and kicked the field goal.
Yeah, that was very poorly mismanaged. That was maybe Matt LaFleur's biggest mistake today, other than maybe playing Christian Watson. But I did not like how they handled that. They wasted no time on that last drive, and they were very uncertain on if they were going to kick that field goal. And I don't think Matt LaFleur really wanted to kick the field goal. I think he wanted to go for it.
Well, they were having the discussion about could he hit it from that far. That's what it was.
Right. Why would you call?
Bisaccia were having that conversation.
You can't call the timeout before you kick it. If you're calling the timeout, you need to drop a play. That was a really dumb move.
Well, they should have had the conversation prior as far as how far is the farthest you think he can make it from.
Right, exactly. Before the game, you should be knowing, okay, we're going to cap it at 55 yards. We're going to cap it at 60 yards.
Even if you're at halftime, you go to McManus and go, all right, man, how are you feeling out there? Yeah. You know, cold, I know ball is hard or whatever. How far do you think we're good from here in the second half? Have the conversation then, if nothing else. But, yeah, that's crazy. All right, more of Jordan Love.
Your reaction to what happened with Christian, and assuming he is out for a while, just how do you kind of work around that going into the postseason?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Obviously, I'm not sure, you know, the exact circumstances, but just seeing it on the field, him going down, non-contact like that, it's tough. It's very tough, and especially Christian trying to bounce back from what he's been dealing with and to be able to go out there and have that happen. It's tough, and I feel for Christian. But at the same time, it's that same mindset we've talked about before. You know, it's next man up, so other guys are going to have to step up and play a huge role. But like I've said before, we have a deep receiver room, and it was good to see guys step up. Malik have that big time catch right there at the end, so that's what it's going to be. Guys are going to have to step up, make plays, but we'll see. But you know, didn't look good on the field for Christian.
Jordan, what were you seeing in the first couple of series before you got hurt from the Bears defensively? How are they playing now?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't doing a whole lot of crazy. I feel like it was a lot of cover three, a lot of one high, and we just weren't making enough plays, weren't completing passes and being able to stay on the field right there, but they weren't doing anything crazy.
Jordan, with the way the pass game was against the Vikings and the way it was before you left today, you guys were humming pretty good at one point. Now it feels like the last 2 weeks, it's not. How do you get that going again?
Yeah, it's definitely been a little stagnant, and it just feels like we're just missing right now. Missing on some of these ops that obviously before we're hitting on. So, like I've said before, it's not like we're far off. It's not like everything we're running is just not working. You know, stuff's there, and we just got to go out there and make plays. I got to be great, like I said, with accuracy, ball placement, everything. So, you know, I think it's a lot of stuff that we'll clean up. You know, it's I definitely don't think it's a problem, but it's stuff that, you know, if this was a playoff game, we'd be going home right now. So we got to find a way to, you know, make those plays, execute, and stay on the field as offense, put up more points than we did tonight. But, yeah, we got to find ways to just be better. Because like we said in the locker room, this playoff game, you know, we're going home. So just not good enough.
All right, I'm going to stop it right there. Have you seen Jordan Love play a game all year where you thought his accuracy was great throughout an entire game? Nope. I you tell me. I'll go back and watch your game. I don't remember one. Not one. Not for four quarters where you could say he was hitting dudes in the chest and in the hands the whole game. Guys weren't having to dive for balls or reach behind him for balls or whatever. There just hasn't been that game. There really hasn't. He hasn't been on target for four quarters in a game all year. We're like, it's just a machine. Bing, 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 bing. Not a thing. It's guys today in the same thing before he got hurt. Guys diving after balls and everything else. I mean, that, to me, that is an issue as well. Because if you go back to the first half of last year when they weren't playing well, what was happening? He was throwing balls at guys' feet, throwing guys balls behind guys. Ball placement was not good. And then in the second half of the year, he found that ball placement, and he was hitting guys in stride, and it was machine-like in the second half of last year. I don't feel like we've really been machine-like for four quarters in any game. I feel like he's machine-like for a drive or two here and there, but it's not been consistent for an entire game.
This is the seventh game of the season, Sparky, that Jordan Love had a completion percentage under 60%.
Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes that's him, sometimes it's not. I mean, they're among the leaders in drop passes. So I'm not going to sit here and put it all on him when you got Jaden Reed dropping balls and Wicks dropping balls and so forth. That can be a little misleading. That stat backs up by saying he hasn't been the most accurate, sure. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, yes, that works. But then you also have to look at the drops and how many times they cost him. But just overall, just eye test, just think about it. Like, how many times can you think of where he was on the money the whole time?
Going
off that last game was because he missed two easy throws in that last, well, not easy, but two throws in that last game. And everybody's like, oh, you got to let him come out and throw the ball more and don't run it so much because you're not letting him get into his rhythm until it's too late in the game. So today they did that and they punted right away and it didn't work. So go ahead.
I think Seattle, the 15th of December, last time we saw Jordan Love look fully on, I think that's a fair point. Even the New Orleans game, like obviously they were just trying way too many deep balls, trying to go down the field way
and
too much.
He missed two guys.
Yes.
He had two guys he would have hit on that dumb possession after that half where they go pass, pass, pass.
Yep.
And all of them were deep shots. And the first two, he had guys open and he missed them both.
I understand. Yes. I think Seattle was the best game we saw out of Green Bay all year.
Probably
I think
right.
That was Jordan Love's best game. So the good news for that being it's really not that far removed, but it is three games now that we have not seen Jordan Love at his peak performance.
But you can't give me four, five, six, seven games during the year. Well, it was this game, that game, this game, that game, this game. You don't. We can't do that. I mean, the Seattle game, maybe that's it, but there hasn't been enough of them to where you feel confident that all of a sudden he's just going to flip a switch and turn it on when they go to Philadelphia. And I don't even go on AccuWeather.com in this break. I want to know what the weather's supposed to be like in Philly Saturday and Sunday. Next week, I'd be interested in knowing what that is supposed to look like. Rodgers just threw his 501st touchdown pass to Alan Lazard. He started the game with an interception, didn't he? Didn't you say?
Yes, yeah. To a lineman.
Yeah, he's got two touchdowns now. They're beating the Dolphins soon to be, I think, 14-6. I still don't think he's quitting after this year, though. Okay, so the Packers lose 24-22. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Steve Sparky, Fiverr with you. Tommy Wirtz over there as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We'll come back. Already a coach firing in the National Football League. We'll look up, look at some other playoff matchups, too, all straight ahead here on The Fan.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
Who was the most valuable player for Green Bay today?
On three. One, two, three.
Who stood out the most?
Here we go! It's time to announce the MVP of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
24-22 loss, MVP of the game. As we broadcast live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. See Sparky Pfeiffer here. Our guy Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. All right, Tommy, you go first. MVP in a loss that ends the regular season as the Packers get ready to go to Philly next week.
How about my guy, Emmanuel Wilson? Let's go with him. Good day on the ground for him. Looked awesome when he was out there. Runs hard. Took the load off of Josh Jacobs, so he didn't have to stay in this game any longer than he needed to risk any injury. Emmanuel Wilson, he's a stud. I've loved him all year, and I wish he had some more opportunities out there because I do think he's awesome, but he's not going to take away opportunities from Josh Jacobs.
I will go with... we got to get Xavier McKinney. Grab Xavier McKinney here before we get off the air. Ryan Wood just tweeted out some good stuff from Xavier McKinney in the locker room. I want everybody to hear this. I'm going to go with Brandon McManus. Because with all due respect, you scored 22 points, and there wasn't a lot to be excited about, if we're being honest. There wasn't a lot to be excited about. It wasn't excitement from the perspective of, oh boy, Malik Willis was outstanding today. I never had that feeling. Jordan Love played great before he got hurt. Never had that feeling. That defense, boy, they got 5 or 6 sacks. Nope, that did not happen. They were there a bunch, but they couldn't finish. McKinney had the interception, then he fumbled it. So I'm not there on that either. From that perspective, I don't think any position player on offense or defense necessarily deserved it. But McManus kicking a ball 55 yards in that weather, as cold as it was, in a big situation and drilling it down the middle. He's only missed one kick the entire time since he's signed with the Green Bay Packers. McManus is my MVP.
All right,
Tommy.
Yeah, I can get down with that. I can play McKinney from my side here if you're ready for it.
Here is Xavier McKinney, and not too happy, I don't think. What has it changed? Everything. The fact that he says same stuff every week, that's concerning, Tommy Wirtz. That does not give me a lot of confidence going into next week.
I agree. That is a tough line there. Same stuff every week. I don't know who is. Are you mad at the defense today?
No.
Other than the one play at the end of the game. Terrible play call by Halfley.
30 yards off the field when they need yards to shut up for a field goal. Yes, I agree.
Worst call of the whole day from anyone at all. Agreed. 100%.
Yes.
But if I'm leaving this game as the defense, I'm taking off 14 points because the Bears barely moved the ball when they got their second touchdown, and their first touchdown wasn't from the defense. So I don't think that you should feel all that bad as a performance on the defensive side in this game. McKinney, I like that he's being a leader, trying to check people, but I don't see why the defense would leave frustrated saying every week it's the same stuff.
Well, he's clearly frustrated and clearly has his issues. Now, again, I remind you, you could be in New York and you could still be with the Giants, so things could be worse. But I think you could feel it. Last week you felt it from Jacobs, the frustration with not being able to beat the Vikings. And now McKinney is equally frustrated. Now, again, both those guys coming from losing situations with never really being able to get over the hump, per se, with either one of those teams. So you have to fight through that mentality and kind of keep yourself up. This is where a strong vocal leader like a Charles Woodson or somebody like that would do wonders on this football team right now. And you do not have that guy. You don't have that guy. You don't have a Woodson to lead your way out. You don't have a Reggie White to lead your way out. You don't have a Leroy Butler to lead your way out. You don't have those guys. So because you don't have those guys, now these young guys that have no success whatsoever in the postseason are trying to figure out how to lead themselves out of this the last couple of weeks.
Is that guy supposed to be Jaire Alexander?
Sure, I guess. But I mean, realistically,
who else would it be on this
team? Xavier McKinney, because that's the guy that you signed in the offseason. That's the guy that leads you in interceptions. That's the guy that's the leader of the defense and has been.
But he's not the green dot.
Especially with Jaire Alexander out, he's been the leader of that secondary.
Well, the green dot was Quay Walker. What does that mean? I mean, stop.
Now it's Cooper, and Cooper's looked pretty damn good, too.
But he's a rookie, too. I can't have him being that guy to be the vocal leader of everybody's going to rally
behind. Maybe it's supposed to be
Rashawn
Gary, who never shows up this entire year,
or Kenny Clark, right? You could say those two are the vets. Those two should be the guys leading. Point is, I don't feel like there's strong leadership, maybe, from those vets who have been there and done it before. And I think maybe that hurts a little bit.
How do you feel that they are seven seeds 2 years in a row now, and that they wouldn't be in the playoffs if it wasn't for the last 2 years?
Yep, absolutely.
Do you feel like this team wasn't a playoff team, though? They were absolutely a playoff team.
They were absolutely a playoff team. 11 wins most years, that wins you a division.
Correct.
It absolutely wins you a division. No. They're definitely a playoff team. Last year, they got hot at the end to sneak out a playoff berth to get in. This year, again, they won all the games they were supposed to and lost the games they were supposed to outside of this goofy game against the Bears that they lost 24-22. I asked you to find what the weather forecast was in Philly next week. Here, we only got a minute or so left. What did you find?
It's going to be cold. We're talking temperatures in the single digits to lows in negative weather. Possibility of snow on Saturday. If they're playing on Sunday or Monday, it doesn't look like snow is going to be a factor. Supposed to be pretty windy all of three of those days as well, up to like 15 miles an hour, it looks like.
Yeah, so Saturday is trash. So I guess we don't want to play on Saturday if we're picking of when you want that game to happen. So maybe you want that game to be on Sunday or Monday. The other thing is, do we feel like this is a good cold weather team? I don't know if I feel like this is a good cold weather team at this point.
I don't think it matters. I don't think any team likes playing in the cold. I don't care if you play in Philadelphia, Green Bay, or in Florida. It doesn't matter. All these guys grow up playing in California, Texas, and Florida. They hate playing in the cold regardless.
Yep. All right. Very good. That will do it for today's show. And the Packers lose 24-22. Don't forget Green and Gold Monday tomorrow morning, 8 to 9 with Andy Herman and the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thundernellis returning from his vacation. Then the debut of the Rich Eisen Show from 11 to 2. And then, of course, Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's with myself and Charlie Usen from 2 till 5. That'll do it for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi.